Dear ones, for this afternoon's meditation, our reading, let's turn with the Lord's help and read from the Epistle of Paul to the Philippians, chapter number 4. Philippians, chapter number 4. Želim sa Božjom pomoću da se pročita iz Filipljanima, četvrta glava. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just and whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus, the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. May God bless our reading. Let us kneel before our Lord in prayer. The Apostle Paul, in writing this letter to the church in Philippi, he, in the third chapter, he says, "Finally, my brethren." It's almost as if he's closing this chapter, but yet we... or this letter, but yet we receive another chapter. And in this chapter, dear ones, he gives unto us the means to the power of which he laid out the practical living in Christ in the first few chapters of this letter. He gives us the source of this power. He speaks of a prize. There's a prize. What good is a prize to anyone? If you tell me that if you go from point A to point B and you do it in 10 seconds, you will receive this. But I know I cannot in any way make it. I cannot do it. What good is the prize to me if I don't have the means to do to get to that prize? The prize can be whatever it is. It means nothing to me because I don't have the ability. And so Paul laid out practical living in Christ, what it means to us. But he also now tells us that is not an unattainable thing. There is a source of power that will enable every one of us, brothers and sisters and dear friends, to be able to reach that goal. And the source of that power is none other than Jesus Christ. And he tells us here, as he makes an appeal, he says, "Therefore, my brethren," and he talks of this church in Philippi. Look how tenderly he writes to them, my brethren, dearly beloved, longed for, my joy and crown. And he tells them, stand fast in the Lord. And again, he addresses them, my dearly beloved. The brethren in Philippi, Apostle Paul is letting them know how dear they are to his heart. Dear ones, can we approach one another in these kind of words without any hypocrisy? My joy, my crown, my dearly beloved, my brethren dearly beloved, longed for. This is how he addresses this church. And he gives us a verse here. It says, rejoice in the Lord. Joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit of God. Joy is not something that we can find here on this earth. It is a monopoly that God has, that he gives to those who are in him. Rejoice, he says, in the Lord, always. No matter what we are going through in our life, there's nothing that can rob us of the joy in Christ. Think of that, dear ones. No matter what circumstance in life there is, the joy in Christ trumps everything. There's nothing that can take that away from us. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And he doesn't say it, and he doesn't stop it. He says, and again, I say, rejoice. To be in the Spirit, to have a fruit of the Spirit, we will always rejoice. We can say, how can that be possible? In verse 6, he says, be careful for nothing. The word nothing is so inclusive of everything. When he says, be careful, or don't be anxious. Don't worry. Worry, he says, about nothing. Does that mean, well, that he means just the little things, but the big things, of course we're going to worry. No, he says, be careful, be anxious about nothing. Why? He says, so don't be anxious about anything, about nothing, but everything. He says, in everything, what? By prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And so when we have nothing to worry about, when all of our requests are being made known unto God by prayer, and then he tells us here, with thanksgiving. So be thankful that you can make your requests known unto God. You know, I often think of when I pray to God, I also need to thank him then for answering my prayer. And that actually, if I really read this, I'm wrong. Because Paul is telling me here, make your request and give your thanks immediately because God already answered your prayer. He answered our prayer. That's what we have to, you know, is there such a thing as unanswered prayers? There's the big quotes that are being said, you know, thank God for unanswered prayers. There's no such thing as an unanswered prayer. God answers our prayers. Have you ever gone to your dad or your mom and asked something from them? They said no. That's your answer. That's the answer, no. Well, if I ask for something that is outside of the will of the Lord for me, he won't give it to me. And I have asked amiss. But I need to give my thanks to the Lord immediately because he has answered my prayer. When? Immediately. So if I pray for someone, as we just prayed, we pray for those who are lost. We pray. We thank God that he will answer my prayer. He answers that prayer. It may not be in the time of my life that I will see something fulfilled, but it may be fulfilled after my life. Or whatever the case might be, the Lord has done that which I have asked. He has done that which I have asked. He's answered me with a yes or a no. And so, how can I then not rejoice in the Lord always and not have any worry? Worry about nothing. Dear ones, that's hard to say. You know, there's some of us that are worry warts. Some of us, all we do is worry about this, worry about that, worry about it. And we're robbed of what? We're robbed of joy. We can't rejoice in the Lord. Why? Because we're always stressed out with worry. What? What are we worrying about? Well, typically what it really boils down to, we end up worrying about what is going to be. What is going to be is not anything that you and I are going to be able to change. The Lord says, don't worry about it. Let your supplications be made known. Let me know. Paul worried about the thorn in his flesh, and he prayed to the Lord. And the Lord answered him, my grace is sufficient for you. I'm with you. Paul got his answer. The thorn was with him in the flesh the rest of his life. But the answer was, the Lord is saying to him, my grace will be with you. I'm with you. You don't have your crown yet. You've got your thorn. The crown is coming. The prize is coming. Don't worry about what is going on, whatever that thorn was. Don't worry about it. I'm with you. And dear ones, let's not brush aside, well, that's just how I am. Because typically what happens is we get robbed of joy, which means we're lacking in the fruit of the Spirit of God, which means that our faith in God is lacking. And so let's consider that if my faith in Christ is lacking, that means my love for him is lacking. It has to. I cannot love him if I don't have faith in him. I have to have faith in him. And when I lack that faith, I lack the love. When I lack the love, I look to the world because the answer is no longer in him. And so I look to the world for the answer. And then, and what is the world going to give me? Look at the conscience of as the decades roll along, conscience seems to be disappearing. Honesty seems to be disappearing. I hear stories of how it used to be. People would shake hands and the deal is done. The word is a word and so on. None of that exists today. And oftentimes we look to high places as the ones who are to keep my faith. Let's just consider what has taken place in the last few years. The high court of the land, the Supreme Court, 9 judges presiding over this court. And they institute that same-sex marriage is okay. That is an abomination against God. And now, let's think about this. We had a conservative court that made that ruling. We can't even say, well, that was a liberal court. That was a conservative court that made that. So, and we get all misconstrued in our thoughts. We're looking for this and looking for, we're not going to find anything there. Paul himself tells us, we don't fight against flesh and blood. We're battling against a dark darkness in high places. Satan is everywhere. He wants to create chaos. Destroy what? Destroy the home, the marriages, the means of what God has created for man. He wants to destroy. And he's doing it. He's doing it. And what is happening to man? We start to get pumped into this feeling, into this way of thinking of being tolerant and being tolerant towards others and so on. And you know, if you don't accept it, well, then you don't have love, and just we're all being appointed, funneled into a way of evil. You can't look to the courts of the land for direction, dear ones. No. There's only one source. He says, finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true. Who is true? Whatsoever things are honest. Who is honest? Whatsoever things are just. Who is just? Whatsoever things are pure. Who is pure? Whatsoever things are lovely. Who is lovely? Whatsoever things are of good report. Who is of good report? Who is that? It's our Lord Jesus. He says, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on the Lord. Get to know him. This is where our thought needs to be. This is where our direction for our life needs to be. It tells us some. Who he is. He says, for such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. That's who we are to think on. Think on these things. If there be any virtue or any praise, think on him. And then Paul goes on and says, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Which one of us can say that? Which one of us can say that? The Satan certainly has a hook to hang his hat on in each of our lives. There's something that I have lacked in that I can't say it, do. If I had to open up the book of my life, every page, every word that is recorded, and can I give that to my son and say, do this? Paul is saying, whatever you've heard, received, seen, learned, do it in me. Why is he able to speak so boldly? Why is he able to speak that if you do those things which I have shown, which he says, what you've learned and received from me, what you've heard from me, and what you've seen in me. He doesn't say what you've seen in me in this and this occasion and what you've seen in me here. He said what you've seen in me. In other words, my life is out there. Whatever you've seen, do those things. Paul's heart, his love for his Lord was not to be questioned. And he knows that everything that he did it in the service for his Lord. And he's not afraid to tell anyone, do those things. Dear ones, what a testimony the Apostle Paul was able to give. He speaks of the of his joy. He says, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. He's speaking of this church in Philippi who they've lost contact with him for a couple of years They didn't know where he was. They didn't know how to reach him. They didn't know anything about him. He says, you were careful. You would have, but you didn't have, you lacked the opportunity. You're not guilty of that. But we also have to consider, Paul didn't send out an SOS. Help me. Paul says, I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things, I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Dear ones, let's not misquote this. Let's not misquote this. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. If I am going to do something that is the will of God, if my desire is to do that which is the will of God, and what is His will? It's His Word. And so we have to ask ourselves, do we even know who He is? Because if we don't know who Christ is, it's because of our lack of want. It's of our lack of wanting to know who He is. We can't look at the world and its laws as a moral compass for us. There is no morality anymore. It's all relevant now. It's what is moral to me and what is moral to you. Well, this is to me, this is to you. What's he say? He says, let your moderation be known unto all men. What? Let your moderation be known unto all men. And what do you say? He says, the Lord is at hand. Don't let your moderation be known according to what I think it is, or what you think it is, according to what the Lord says. The Lord is at hand. Let Him be the judge. Let's give it to Him, and let Him judge my moderation. We heard this morning, I think it was in the prayer, that everything that we do for Christ lasts. Everything. When it's for Christ, it lasts. When we do something for ourselves. Is there moderation in me to show you what I can own? Is that moderation? The Lord is at hand. Let the Lord judge. But don't take comfort in just saying, well, you know, it doesn't matter. The Lord will judge you. You don't judge me. The Lord's going to judge me. And that's what we hear a lot of today. Don't judge me. Don't judge me. We're quick to say, don't judge me. Paul is saying, the Lord is at hand. He is judging. And whatever I do, let that moderation be known unto all in light of the fact that the Lord is present. And so what I do for myself, it won't last. Look at what the church in Philippi did for Paul. How many thousands of years have gone by? It still is being mentioned today. They didn't look for themselves. They looked to help this dear brother of theirs, whom they loved. They wanted to help him, and they did. And Paul thanked them for their love. He says, not for me. Think of that. He was in need, and they helped him. But he said, I'm not thankful that my need was met. It almost sounds like he's unthankful, right? If I'm in a dire straits and I need something and you supply that need, and I say, well, thank you, not because I was helped, but this is his heart. Because he knows God will sustain him through whatever it is. If it means to suffer, he's going to suffer. And God will see him through that suffering. But he says, but for your sakes, I rejoice that the Lord will bless you for what you have done because you have opened up your heart. Because this is a testament of your love for the Lord when you wanted to help me too. He's rejoicing for their sake, that the Lord will look down upon them with grace and favor because they loved him. But for his needs, yes, thank you. But it's not for me. It's not about me. I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, to abound and to suffer need. There's only one promise that is given to us, dear ones. And the Lord promised this to us. You will suffer persecution. That's what he said. He didn't say you will have all things. He said you will suffer persecution. But Paul says, through that, I can do it all. I can suffer the persecution because Christ strengthens me. Who did he turn to for strength in those lonely hours? The Philippian church couldn't help him. Who could? The one who is ever present. The one who is ever present. When we say that, when we read here, to think upon those things which are just, that those things that are pure, I mentioned that we all have something that Satan can hang his hat on my life, on your life. Here's what Jesus says. Which of you convinceth me of sin? Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He said, the prince of this world cometh, and he has nothing in me. Nothing. This is our pattern. This is our pattern. This is who we are to know. The things that we do for him are eternal. They last forever. There was we've heard it mentioned many times, and we read it here, but Paul is beseeching. What a lovely way to speak to these two. I beseech you, Iodas and Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Obviously, there's a skirmish of some kind. But dear ones, he's telling them, yes, you can be of different opinions, but be of the same mind. What does that mean? Does that mean that if I want a green carpet and you want a brown carpet, that we're supposed to have a skirmish now? No. If we have the same mind in Christ, I will be careful not to offend you. And you'll be careful not to offend me. We have differences of opinions, but we better have the same mind. And he does it so gently. These are two sisters that he loves. He says, be of the same mind. Put those things aside. The things that don't matter. The things that will cause conflict. Don't allow conflict in your life. He tells us, because what does conflict do? It weakens us. Dear ones, it weakens us. Conflict with one another weakens us. And so he says, be of the same mind in the Lord. If we are in the Lord, we can also say, the prince of this air has nothing in me. Paul was able to say that. Paul was able to say that. Just by reading this, he says, do those things which you've seen in me. He is making, He is making a statement here that the prince of this world has nothing in him. You will not see a pattern of life in the Apostle Paul that he is ashamed of. He is one that recognizes his sin every day, and he doesn't look to repeat it the next day. He has a conscience that is alive and sensitive. Why? Not because he looks to the moral direction of the world to mark this course for him. No, he looks to Christ, the one who is just and pure, the one who is lovely, the one who is honest. That's who he thinks on. And that's who he directs us to, too, dear ones. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. What a lovely verse. One that Paul felt and lived. Can you and I say that without hesitation? We can say it theoretically. We can say it, yes, you know, for sure I can do everything through Christ. If Christ wants me to do it, I can do it. No, he's not going to tell us here to jump over a house. And now I can't jump over a house. What is it that Christ wants us to do? What we just read of Paul says here. No conflict. Don't do those things. Think on the things that are pure, lovely, of good report, honest. Purity and all the things. Think on these things. Those are the things that Christ will strengthen you to be able to fulfill. If it's persecution, if I'm hungry, I can go through that hunger. Yes, through death itself, God will take me there. He is everywhere. Nothing to fear. I lack faith. When I lack faith, I'm going to look to the rudiments of this world. I'm going to look to the ugliness. Dear ones, there's nothing in the world that we can go out and find. All we're going to see in the world, we're going to dirty our eyes. We're going to dirty our ears with everything we see out there. He says, think on the things that are pure and lovely and of good report, the things that are honest. If there's any virtue, just think on these things. He says, or not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. That's his love for the brethren. That's where he is describing the opening verse of this chapter. My dearly brethren, dearly beloved, long for my joy, my crown. This is his crown. My joy and my crown is a church, is a body of believers. What do we mean one to another? What does fellowship mean to one another? Can we hardly wait to fellowship with one another? Is it a burden to be together? Is it a burden to come to the house of the Lord and to pray together? Is it a burden? Are we one another's joy and crown? Oh, well, it can't be. Not the way you are. Well, I think I'm a little bit involved in verse number 2 then. If that's my attitude. I think the Apostle Paul, through Christ Jesus, has a message then for me. Be of the same mind in the Lord. What have I done? What have I done then? Do I just want something? Do I want an environment that is just lovely? But what have I done to contribute to that environment that I want? And what is it, the environment that I do want? Is it all things that are pure and lovely? Is it Christ? Is it an environment of Christian, of a Christian life that I want to be in and be around? Do I long for midweek service? Do I long for a Sunday service? Do I long to come together? My joy and crown. And he says here, I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which are sent from you. And what does he say here? It is an odor of a sweet smell. The high priest would go into the Holy of Holies and he would sprinkle incense on the altar and it would rise as a sweet smell. He says, what you have done for me is going to be received in heaven as an odor of a sweet smell. It is a sacrifice that is acceptable unto God. It is well-pleasing to God. Brothers and sisters, let your moderation be made known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. What you have given is an odor of a sweet smell. It is a sacrifice that is acceptable. It is well-pleasing to God. What do we live for? The things that we said in the prayer again, the things that we do for Christ are eternal. We do it for Christ, it's eternal. I do it for me, it's rust, it fades away, it's gone. It doesn't even remain in my lifetime. It's gone. That was my fulfillment. That was what I wanted. I lived for myself. My God was my belly. He says, you've given. He says, but my God shall supply all your need. What does that mean? That I will never be hungry if I've given something to someone to feed them? Does that mean now I will never be hungry? My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Unto God our Father be glory forever and ever. Paul is taking us on a journey through this chapter of what it means to be in Christ. Dear ones, when we step out of him, and that means when I have sinned, when I've stepped out of him, when I'm no longer in Christ, there is nothing that I can do anymore that is pleasing unto him. There is nothing that I can do that is pleasing to him when there is sin that is alive. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. We need to give our greetings one to another. This is beautiful. This is love. All the saints salute you. And he says, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household, they also want to be remembered. Caesar's household. Those aren't Jews. Those are the converts of Paul. They also want to be remembered. And they greet the brethren in Philippi. And he closes with the benediction of this beautiful letter. He says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.